what you get for falling in love. She sent the kill shot through my heart. Oh, yeah, she's a cutie, but don't call her bluff. She's a stone cold killer and designer glove. She sent the kill shot through my heart. She left the scene clean with no trace of blood. Oh, I guess that's what you get for falling in love.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio.
It'll be all right.
At 88.1.
You put your hand.
Call up somebody. Tell them it's gonna be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel. Transmitting all day.
What if Jesus had run away? Father, not my will, but thine will be done. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. If you continue to read, you can also read where he talked about the cup. And I feel that this sermon is going to make a lot of us think about our task as Christians when we run away. Life is full of the little word if. It would be interesting to sit down and count up the many times this little word if occurs in our conversations, in our letters, in our books that we read. If everywhere, like birds in a forest singing their morning hymn. If everywhere, like flowers in a garden perfuming the air. If everywhere, like stars twinkling against the blue velvet sky in a night of uncertainty. If everywhere, like bees in the summer spring stealing nectar from the mouth of a flower manufacturing honey. If everywhere, like fish in the sea, sand on the beach, leaves on a full bloom tree, cattle's resting on a thousand hills, this little word if is everywhere. What warrior roads this little word if prepares for us to travel? What palace doors this little word if throws open for us to walk in. If. What treasure chests this little word if unlock for us to possess. If. What light this little word if radiate. What darkness this little word if maintains. What music this little word if creates. What Niagara glories this little word if unveils. What unknown continents this little word if discovers. What wonderful affirmation this little word if declares. What black assumptions this little word if shouts abroad. This little word if takes us up many stone mountains of hope, across Pacific oceans of peace, up majestic hills and mountains of times. It flies us over many lands of excitement, but it also leads us across the dry desert of despair. into the valleys of disappointment, the land of wonderment, amazement, and discouragement. This little word, if, takes us up these many avenues. And the Bible is full of this little word, if. In the book of Chronicles, God talks about if. If my people will call by my name, would turn from their wicked ways, humble themselves and seek my face and pray, then will I hear from heaven and heal the land. Job asked a question one time in Job 14. If a man die, shall he live again? Psalms 139 says, whether shall I go from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take my wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall your hand lead me. The devil asked Jesus a question when he tempted him. If thou be the Son of God, turn these stones into some good hot biscuits. Jesus said, if your right eye offend thee, pluck it out. And if your right hand offend thee, cut it off. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself. A woman wanted to touch the hem of his garment, and she said, if I could but touch his clothes, I shall be made whole. If any man come after me, let him deny himself, Jesus said, take up his cross and follow me. Paul made a statement. He said, if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is in vain. And Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. I'm talking about if. There are some disturbing ifs in life. What if Eve had never been created? My Lord, have mercy on us men. All men, no women? What if Noah had refused to build an ark? Would God have to repeopleize the world with another Adam and Eve? What if Moses had been killed at childbirth? What if some people always born never died? Just suppose people never died. And everybody keep coming. Would you ever get a job? I don't think so. Old folk will still be there. What if Mary would have had an abortion? What if that woman who stabbed Martin Luther King that night in New York, what if Martin Luther King had coughed one time? Would we have his remarkable statement, I have a dream? What if God had to sleep and had to take a nap every day? Would all of us remain Christians? I think some of us will be holy up until nap time. If you you had to pay for the air you breathe and the sunshine that we enjoy. There are some disturbing if, but my friend, one of the most disturbing if in my mind tonight is the if of my text. What if Jesus had run away? Such a subject and such a question shocked some of you, for it offend your faith in who Jesus was and why he came into this world. But if this question shocks you, it should also strengthen you and your faith in Jesus to know that he did not run away. It should make all of us shout the more, what a Savior we have. But just what if? Just think about it. If, but just suppose on that very night that Jesus had fallen by the wayside, suppose on that night of testing in the Garden of Gethsemane, he insisted on his human will and not his Father's will. Several reasons why I feel Jesus could have been successful if he had run away. He could have run away and his human will could have overruled him because he was human. He was human and all human love life. Everybody here want to go to heaven, but they don't want to die. There was a man one time made a statement. He said, everybody that's saved and want to go to heaven, stand on your feet. And everybody stood but one man. He said, don't you want to go to heaven? He said, yes, but y'all sound like you're finna go now. And I want to go, but not right now. All human beings love life. When you're a child, it is full of excitement. When you're a young man or woman, it is full of blooming strength and love. And when you get old, it is sweet like the flowers perfuming the air in the springtime. Life is a wonderful thing to have. And Jesus could have saved his life on that night if he wanted to. He could have run away because he had the freedom of choice. And all of us are free will agent. Nobody go to hell, you choose to go. Now, if you go to heaven, it's by choice. And there's one thing God will not force no man to do, is to make him do something against his will. There's some things God can't do. He can't make you decide to go to heaven if you want to go to hell. Praise God. Suppose Jesus had run on that night when he was accused by the angry crowd, beaten by callous Roman soldiers, humiliated by hostile religious leaders, lied on by Peter, sold by Judas, and went to sleep. His other disciples went to sleep on him. Suppose he had run away. Don't say it's not possible. He ran before. He ran when they tried to make him a king. He escaped out of their presence and went on the other side. He ran several times when they tried to stone him. And if he ran before, he could have run again. But what is it about Jesus staying in the garden, insisting on his Father's will and not his will? Now I want you to look for a moment at what would have happened if Jesus had run away. Playing with your mind a little bit. First of all, if Jesus had run away, the Gospel of Luke chapter 22 verse 39 would not read the way it reads. It would change. It would not read like it reads now. And it came to pass, and he went to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And then when he was at that place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone cast. And he kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if it be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. That's the way it reads, right?
Yes.
But just suppose Jesus had run away. This is the way Luke would read. And he took with him Peter, James, and John, and went forward a little. And when they had hidden themselves among the shadows, Jesus revealed unto them that he would escape in the night. Concealing themselves in the dark, they disappeared out of the garden.
Yes, sir.
Not long afterward, noise were heard in the distance as Roman soldiers entered into the garden on the other side. But Jesus and the three chosen disciples left the garden and had gone into the hills. The other eight disciples were beaten by the mob crowd and were disfigured. During the next day, while the feast of the Passover was being observed, the three secret disciples crossed the borders of Judea and made their way into Egypt. This is the way it would read. If Jesus had run away. If Jesus had run away, where would he have gone? And what would have happened? If Jesus had run away, he would have become a world-renowned leader. Don't you know if a man like Jesus had power to walk on water and raise the dead, make a bakery shop out of bread and fish market out of a little boy's lunch? If a man like Jesus could speak and make the lame walk and throw away their crutches,
yes,
and run heat out of fever,
yes,
and bring sensitivity to the deaf ears, let up the curtains of blindness from the eyes of the blind, and speak and make lightning put his tongue back in his mouth, and make the wind lie down like little dogs at the foot of a massacre, and spoke and said, peace be still.
Peace.
Don't you know if a man like Jesus had that kind of power, if he had run away, he would have gained a whole lot.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, true.
Because if some of us had half the power that Jesus had, you couldn't tell us nothing. You can't tell some of us when we got a special seat. Not saying nothing about walk on water. Don't say he wouldn't have been successful. He would have been mighty successful because he had power. Don't you know a man like Jesus who could speak words and words could fall from his lip like pollen from shaken lilies and speak parables fluently as he could? He could have been highly successful. Where would he have gone if Jesus had run away? His destination from the cross would have been changed. Many people would like to know where Jesus would have gone. I like to think Jesus would have gone to Egypt. Jesus would have found himself in a radically different atmosphere. The people were not drunk with religion as those of Judea. They were more philosophical, more tolerant of unconventional ideas. The rich Jews, who were more Greek in their outlook. And in time, however, Jesus might have won a following among the poor Egyptians and slaves. His charm and his personality and his colorful contrast between his beautiful parable, his ability to speak as never a man spoke, the dry rationality of the Greek philosophers would have attracted large crowds. Soon, the energetic and practical people might have joined the movement to convert dreamers, dreams into practical propositions. Paul of Tarsus that genius Jew might have gone to Jesus' feet and sat there to learn instead of at the feet of Gamaliel. If Jesus had run away and gone to Egypt, Jesus himself would be head of the new movement that he would have started. Churches would have been organized in the name of the new social structure. The word of God would be preached on a highly scientific manner according to the latest laws of psychology. In later years, it is possible Jesus would return to Jerusalem now that the Romans had destroyed the old city. There he would pick up the threads where he left on the night of Gethsemane. No longer would he be some obscure and persecuted preacher of the Galilean hills, however, in danger of the crucifixion, but as a famous exile who has returned to his native land and would have received an Oscar of award for his universal acclamation. Have you thought about what he would have become if he had run away? He would have been just what the devil wanted him to be, a great philosophical, political genius. Money in the bank, churches in some other institution or name. All of the fame, fortune that every movie star wants and some church folk. I hate to say it. If Jesus had run away from his task and just got excited about avoiding the cross, which the Muslim and Islam said he avoided the cross, and there are a lot of people don't want no Jesus on a cross. And I need you to understand why he stayed in that garden. And why he said, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. That was a struggle going on between the inner man and the outer man. As you struggle today, the Garden of Gethsemane, the word agony means agos, which meant wrestler. The original word for agony means wrestler. So he was wrestling as you wrestle night and day with issues. He was in that garden wrestling over an issue. And why? A lot of folk are disturbed that Jesus made this statement. Some people are shocked. Why did he even say, Father, thy will, not my will? What was his will? Did he think about running from the cross? Did he think about escaping the punishment? Why would you even think about your will? What is your will, Jesus?
Yes, sir.
And I could hear Jesus saying, I need to explain to you what I meant. He had to pray over this issue about avoiding his will, because the reality of the cross is offensive. Don't miss that. The cross offend people. And there are some people today don't want no cross. There are some people today want to be in church and don't want no burdens. There are a lot of people who would join the Christian movement if there was no cross. They get offended about somebody dying on a cross because people think that should have been another way. Why can't you just learn some creed and be saved? Why can't you just have some kind of a fashion or uniform that everybody wear to be saved? Why can't you just fix your hair a certain way to know you're saved? Why can't the men wear a certain uniform and then get saved? Or why can't you just be in the choir and get saved? Or why can't you just say amen and be saved? Isn't there a better way to get salvation for man other than dying? But what offends people is this. The cross is the only way God could settle the sin issue. The only way. And you got to understand why God didn't have it no other way. Because the wages of sin is death. And God is so holy, he cannot be stained by sin. And if he's a holy God, he's a just God, he's a righteous God, then that sin has to be paid for. Something has to take its place. There has to be an atonement, which makes an amendment. That, glory to God. There has to be somebody standing in your place worthy to stand in your messy way. You are too unjust to stand before God. You're already guilty. You need a lawyer to plead your case. God said everybody else messed up. Abraham lied. Noah got drunk. Jacob tried to beat everybody out of their wealth. Jonah tried to hide. Job called God in question. Samson put his head in the devil's barbershop. And David went up on the rooftop and saw a good-looking mama jamma and lost his head. And Solomon had too many women. And every one of them were unworthy to stand in our gap. So there had to be a pure, perfect lamb. And let me tell you something. Why it disturbed Jesus. Now, I don't want you to forget this. When you saw the move of the Passion of Christ, the pain was not Jesus' problem. See, some of you miss it. You get all heartbroken when you see this body broken and see this pain and the whipping and all of that. You get all upset and it bothers you. And all some of you get all upset over is the pain. But it wasn't the pain that Jesus was worried about. He cared nothing about pain. It was the sin that was about to be put on him.
Yes, sir.
You see, look now, listen, let me drop something on you. Jesus couldn't die. He had to give it up. See, how can you die when you don't have no sin in you? The only reason why we died, we messed up in the garden, sin is in us. But Jesus had no sin in him to die. So to die, he had to have sin on him, yet not in him. So he became sin to free me from sin. And when God became sin, Jesus then saw how bad sin is. Sin will run your mind bad. Sin will make you old when you're still young. Sin will make you come into church and talk about one another and then shout on the same pew and call each other brother. Sin is a terrible thing. And this was the first time God really got a look at sin. Because God can't die. And when he saw how awful sin is, he said, it's a cup. And what was in that cup? What was in that cup that made Jesus think about his will? Well, I tell you what was in that cup. I just went through a few of them. David's adultery was in that cup. Noah's drunkenness was in that cup. Adam and Eve's sin was in that cup. Solomon and Gomorrah's sin was in that cup. When Lot's wife looked back, that was in the cup. When Jonah tried to hide from God, it was in that cup. Peter's lie was in the cup. Thomas doubting was in the cup. My wrong was in the cup. Look at your neighbor and say, your wrong was in the cup. He not only saw what we did then, but he saw what we're doing now and what we're going to do tomorrow. All that was in the cup, and that cup was so bad, it made him say, Father, not my will. If I got to drink this cup, it's worse than the hemlock that Socrates had to drink. This was a cup he had to drink so I could drink every Sunday morning the cup of redemption. He took my cup of bitterness so I could have some wine on Sunday. And when I drink that wine, I'm not drinking crucifixion. I'm drinking redemption. That's why I call it communion. Now I can commune with him since he drank the cup. Now let me tell you something else. Glory to God. Why didn't he run away? You better hear me. He didn't run away. Here's your point. Here's the application. He didn't run away because Jesus realized that life is no fantasy. Why do folk run away from trouble? Why is it that when things hit you, you escape? You have the Jonah mentality. Pray and go on the other side. Why is it that God got to send a well custom made with your name on it to force you to do what you ought to do? It's because some of you think that life is a fantasy. Some of you think marriage is a fantasy. All you sit around and go, I want to be married. I want to be married. And you spend all your money on a big dress and ain't got nowhere to hang it up in a closet. You get a long limousine to go off on a honeymoon and got to walk back. You are in love with the idea of marriage. In fact, some of you are just having a ceremony, not a marriage. Marriage is pain. Marriage is forgiveness. Marriage is anger sometimes, mad sometimes, glad sometimes, happy sometimes. And some of you are in love with a fantasy. And then when things hit you, you run away. Why do some folk go from church to church and run? Because you got a fantasy about a church. And some of you, when you join a church, you're thinking about perfect pews and identified pulpits as being something so pure. The deacons are so pure. The reverend is so perfect. The mothers are so holy that they can't sin. And then when one member rubbed upside you and give you an eye you never seen when you were in the world. And I'm talking about the evil eye some church folk can have. And tell you that's been my seat. I've been sitting there 40 years. And you heard some rumor on the deacon, or you heard some rumor on the preacher, or you heard some rumor on the choir member or the musician. And then some tragedy hit the church, and the church go through a storm. Instead of you holding on to a pole until it passed, the storm takes you with it. And you run from church to church and say, the folk over there ain't right, because you got a wrong view of a church. It's not perfect. It's a hospital. And everybody here need operating on, and some of them need major surgery. And I'm not where I ought to be, but be patient with me. I'm not what I used to be. Every day I'm rising and falling. And you get caught up in some dream of some utopia. And you start thinking you in heaven now. Just because you got happy that Sunday. If I can get church folk to understand, people are just people. And church folk are the same everywhere. That you won't find no perfect church. And when you find one and join it, you just messed it up. That everybody here got ring around the collar. And that all of us are dirty laundry. Filthy rags in the eyes of God. That ain't nobody here big enough to put nobody out. Because he that is without sin, throw the rock. If you just understand what the purpose of the church is, to bear you one another's burden. The church is to help you be in the right atmosphere. Because if you're around the wrong atmosphere, it'll get you down. And all the church is doing is getting you around the right people so you can face your burden. If you stop dreaming about a perfect place, you can stay in a church. Look at your neighbor and say, ouch. Tell you why another reason some folk run. They didn't come with no intention to stay. See, when you join anything, you have to make up in your mind before you join it. You're there to stay. You see, some folk leave you because they were never with you. Some folk will leave you and married you and left you because they never were with you. They were in love of what you did, or love you for something, but not in love with you. Years ago, a woman came to me and said to me, Pastor, I want to tell you something. I don't tell you nobody that. I said, well, I won't tell it then. But remember, my illustrations are made up from life. Preachers preach about life. And sometimes they'll use you in their illustrations, not to talk about you, but that's how they build a sermon. And when somebody else finds out you had the problem, they find out they can relate. She said to me, she was 70 years old. She said, Reverend, my husband is sick. He's ill. I have to baby him, clean him, wash him, feed him. He's pitiful. She said, I don't want to tell you, but I'm thinking about divorcing him because I'm getting tired of babying him. And I got to sit there and I can't go out. He can't satisfy me sexually because he can't do nothing. He's sick. At 70 years old, I looked at her, I said, wow. I said, I hear you, mama. didn't say that to her, but I said to myself. She said, I want to go out. I want to have fun. I said to him, to her, I said, what was it about him that attracted you to him when you met him? She said, oh, he was young, tall, handsome, and strong. And he was nice to me. I said, what happened when you made a vow? She said, oh, I go to my vows. I said, did you say in sickness and in health? She said, yes. I said, and also to death do us part? She said, yeah. I said, well, he ain't dead yet. Did you marry looks? Did you marry health? Or did you marry a man that you love? Maybe you never really loved him to start with. You were in love with protoplasm. See, when some folks stick with you when you've lost it, that's love. And they love you to start with. If some folks leave you because you lost something, they were not in love with you. They were in love with the something you had. And you know what you need to say to them? Mary Martha. Oh, Mary, don't you weep. Oh, Martha, don't you moan. Pharaoh's army got drowned. I ain't gonna worry about you. Jesus knew what he was here for. His heart was in it. Another reason why Jesus didn't run away, and I want you to don't forget this. He prayed. Woo! It's in the text. A lot of folk run because they don't pray.
Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus was the best thing I've ever done. Was the best thing I've ever done. In his arms I feel protected. In his arms never disconnected. No, no. In his arms sing with me this evening. Can I hear you sing it? Sing it with me tonight. Come on, say it.
Falling in love. The best thing I've ever
is no place. There is no place. There is no go. Let us for there's no place we'd rather be, Lord. For there's no place we'd rather Hallelujah. 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 Falling in love with Jesus. Glory be to God. Falling in love with Jesus. Was the best thing I've ever done. I've ever done. Worship God, amen. Hallelujah. Father, we give you praise tonight in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Appreciate the good times. WITKQJO.
What God promised me, it is for me. Come on, somebody, touch your neighbor and say, what God has for me, it is for me. The devil can't have what God has for me. Hallelujah.
Come on, let's have it.